Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back. It's quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante along with Greg Pickle. And Greg, this segment we are going to pick up where we left off with the history of James Franklin's recruiting at Penn State. One of the things everyone likes to say whenever we're talking about the recruiting class is, gee, you never really know until a few years later really how well the team did when you rank them. It doesn't, of course, it doesn't stop us from ranking the current classes, but
sure,
there is something to it. You know, how did this class end up? So we've gone through previously the 2016 and 2017 classes, and we're going to be looking at a real interesting class today, and that is the 2018 class, which I don't have the number in front of me where it was ranked, but it was ranked pretty highly, and I think you'll understand when you see some of these big names that are at the top of this class. But the fact is, this class is an example where just because you get a high-ranked player doesn't mean you're going to get a star college player, correct?
No, that's 100% right, Jim. So let me just piggyback off of how we ended the first segment and just note this was the nation's number six class, the number two group in the Big Ten, behind only Ohio State, of course. And, you know, if you want to one day sign another class like this, obviously you have to win. That's first and foremost the biggest part of the equation. But to go back to what we were just talking about a couple minutes ago, you also got to keep making improvements in other parts of your program, like facilities and like, you know, the various aspects that are off the field. You know, Brandon Short had a very long and passionate speech about needing more analysts and things like that, the off-field stuff. And I don't disagree with him at all. And I know money's tight in a lot of ways right now because of the pandemic. But Jim, when you talk about the mega powers that Penn State recruits against, they all have these things and Penn State does not. So I just wanted to put a bow on that conversation quickly before moving on to look back at this 2018 class, which was one of the most impressive ones James Franklin has signed. And yet it really has in ways turned out as we expected it to, and in ways it really hasn't. I mean, let's look at the five stars first. This, of course, according to the 247 Sports composite rankings, you had three of them: Micah Parsons, Justin Shorter, and Ricky Slade. Obviously, only one of those guys turned out to be the five-star caliber player you had hoped, and that was Parsons, with Shorter eventually moving on to Florida, just never really put it all together at Penn State. And then Ricky Slade went to Old Dominion, and now, according to the Virginia Pilot, he is somewhere in the transfer portal, but not at Old Dominion anymore. So when you go into the next group, it was kind of one of the stronger group of four stars I think I can ever remember Penn State signing, Jim. I mean, let me just rattle it off quick. Jason Awe, P.J. Mustipher, Nana Asidu, Zach Kuntz, Jahan Dotson, Pat Freiermuth, Juice Scruggs, Jesse Lucchetta, Nick Tarburton, Daniel George, Jordan Miner was the four-star group in that class. Now, Miner and Asidu, not long after getting to Penn State, unfortunately, had some health issues discovered that led them to not be able to play anymore, medically retire. Juice Scruggs, as we all know, had the off-field accident. And it's just now rounding back into form, hoping to be able to play this year. Tar Burton has fought injuries too. Daniel George has to an extent. You know, and then you have the rest of the group: Lucchetta, Freiermuth, Dotson, Mustipher, Jason Owe, Amiawe. I mean, these guys were really, really good. And, you know, then the other one that the final that wrap things up is Zach Kuntz, who, you know, he comes in with Freiermuth. And I don't want to call it a Saquon Barkley, Andre Robinson situation, Jim, because I don't think that's completely fair or completely accurate, but there are some parallels and some similarities with the idea, basically, that, you know, Zach Kuntz was stuck behind an All-American at Penn State and didn't necessarily see the kind of playing time I'm sure he had hoped to see. Andre Robinson was the same way behind Saquon Barkley, so now that he goes looking for a different home. So, yeah, certainly some mixing and matching here, and a very good reminder to your point that you're right, just because just because a guy was a four-star or a top 100 player or top whatever player does not guarantee future success. We always are, quick to point that out upon further review.
you have to look at it and say, yes, not every one of these highly recruited, highly rated high school players is going to become a star at the collegiate level. However, with that said, and this is why it upsets me when I hear people say, oh, stars don't matter, and they'll cherry pick the five-star guy who didn't turn out, and then cherry pick the one three-star player who didn't turn or who became a star, and use that as the argument for saying stars don't matter. Well, I'll tell you what. Give me all the five stars. You take all the three stars. Let's go to war. I'll bet on my side. To me, what the argument should be here isn't, gee, getting those highly rated guys, it doesn't matter because they may not turn out. To me, the argument should be, I need more of them because not all of them are going to turn out.
Right. Yep, that's exactly it, Jim. I mean, the idea being that the more of those guys you can get, the higher chances you have of being okay if one or two of them don't work out as expected. And that's the tough part of it, is that you don't know. I mean, again, you look at these guys, especially the top part of this class, and I think you can be pretty happy with the hit rate. But, you know, Justin Shorter and, to a lesser extent, Ricky Slade looked like absolute studs coming out of high school. And you'd be very hard-pressed to make an argument that either one has kind of lived up to the potential that was set for him. It just has not happened so far, you know, in any way, shape, or form. I know Shorter had a little bit better of a year down at Florida, but still not really what anyone thought out of high school. And then, you know, you go on to that four-star group, and again, you have some guys who are starters in there. You have some guys who are rounding into starting form. And then you have some guys who didn't necessarily, you know, make the mark that we thought they would. But you're right, the more of those guys you can get, the better off you're going to be. There's just no question about that. And that's why when you hear things about stars and blue chip ratios and things like that, they do matter, because the best teams get the majority of these guys and are able to you know, survive when guys don't pan out the way that we think they're going to.
There's another element to this, Greg, that really shows up in this recruiting class, which is, there was a time many years ago when you brought in a blue chip guy and maybe he sat as a freshman or redshirted, and then you had four more years or at least three more years from him. But that amount of time, it's becoming reduced. And I look at the top of the list, you see Micah Parsons, who came on, played as a true freshman, contributed his second year in, played well, finished definitely like a superstar in that Cotton Bowl, but that was it for Micah Parsons. He sat out this last year. Now, I understand the pandemic was part of that decision. I fear we're going to see more and more of that in college football, where these superstars, you aren't going to get, forget 4 years, you may not even be getting 3 years from them. Jason Oway is a little bit of another example. Now, I understand he was nicked up a little bit this past year, but here was a guy with all kinds of physical ability coming in, but he was raw. I'm not sure you even felt like you got two good seasons out of Jason Oway, and he might be a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, correct, Jim. I mean, it certainly is an interesting, it certainly is just interesting when you look back over all this stuff and realize that, you know, again, the hit rate, if you don't have enough horses, the hit rate sometimes doesn't matter because they can go the wrong way in a hurry. But conversely, if you get all these guys to hit, you're absolutely right. You're going to end up with draft picks and guys who go on day one, not late day two or early day three and things like that. You're also going to have guys who don't show four or five star potential, even if they were those ratings out of high school. And then all of a sudden, boom, there they are. And they are exactly, you know, what they are exactly what we thought they would be. So, yeah, it's just, again, it's fascinating. It's why I think this series has been so fun, because you look back over these classes and you can see the progression of not just how James Franklin and Penn State have recruited in terms of star rating and things like that, but also how they developed guys in terms of draft picks and where these recruits, the three stars, the four stars, the five stars, etc., you know, where they end up, you know, when all is finally said and done in the NFL draft. So, yeah, that always it always makes these reviews interesting, because again, you have guys who, you know, they came in as big name prospects and you thought, man, high day, you know, first round pick or high day two at worst, and doesn't always work out that way. And sometimes you have guys who you thought maybe would go later, and they're developed and turn into something much better than that and go much higher than expected. So, yeah, you know, it goes both ways, of course. The evaluations coming out of high school has to be right, not just by the coaching staff, but also the recruiting services. And then conversely, you know, you have to develop those guys once they're here, once they lose all those stars, and none of it matters anymore. So, you know, that's always an interesting factor here too.
I want to ask you to grade this class, but then I realized in doing that can be interpreted at least three different ways. So I'm going to give you three ways to grade them, and I want to grade for each one of them. First of all, the recruiting effort to bring in this type of class, you know, grade the coaches on recruiting this class. Second is, well, grade the class on how well they did based on their talent. And I guess the third way, and perhaps most important way, is how did this group affect the team on the field? By that, I mean this group was part of the 2018 class. 2020 was their third year on campus when you should probably see the most effect from this class. And 2020 was a 4-5 season. So
yeah,
Greg, how would you grade them?
Let me go with B, B, C minus. You know, this obviously, when you look at this group as a whole and the impact that it had on the field, which I agree with you, Jim, we can talk about the other parts of it, but I do think that, you know, that is the one that you're always going to grade these classes by. I mean, Jake Pinniger was okay, but Penn State's field goal game was not crazy strong. Will Levis was recruited as a quarterback, played mostly running back, fullback, battering ram, short yardage quarterback, whatever you want to call it. You know, Bryce Effner and Charlie Capture, contributors, but not starters, not rotation guys. Isaiah Humphreys transferred out. Aeneas Hawkins was not a huge part of the game plan this year. Trent Gordon transferred out. Judge Culpepper didn't play much, has transferred out. Jordan Miner, again, the heart issue off field, same thing with Nana Asidu, rather. Daniel George still trying to put it all together. Nick Tarbert and injuries. Jesse Luketta started, had some good moments, had some tough ones. Juice Scruggs working back from that off field injury. Obviously, he only got a handful of games out of Freiermuth before he, you know, had season ending surgery. Jahan Dotson, stud. Zach Kuntz, role player. PJ Mustafa, I thought very good. Jason Elway, I thought very good. Slade Shorter not here. Parsons not here. So C is probably generous. It's probably more like a D, honestly. C minus at best. I mean, when you run through it and look at it like that, Jim, it's just tough to give this class many high marks in that third and probably most important category.
We probably had more expectations from this group. We started to see that kind of recruiting. We thought that was what we were going to see every year, and we thought that would lead to definitely double-digit win seasons every year. That is it for quarter number two. Stick around in quarter number three. We're going to ask Greg.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hearty souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
It won't be long before we get back outside for those cookouts and tailgates. And the best way to get ready is at thetailgateclub.com. We feature your favorites from 409 Tailgate with their Peachy Paws barbecue sauce and famous Bloody Mary mix. We also have great condiments you won't find at the grocery store, like bacon ketchup and hot banana mustard. How about salsas like raspberry chipotle and roasted red chili and honey? Head over to thetailgateclub.com. That's thetailgateclub.com for all these amazing products and more.